We're in the book of Jude. We're finishing up this morning. So if you open up your Bibles to the book of Jude, it's the second to last book in the Bible. And as we mentioned before, if there's ever a time you want to read an entire book of the Bible, you can do it this afternoon. It's just simply one chapter. But man, this chapter is so loaded with incredible truth, biblical truth. And so today we hope to explore this truth and just really allow it to God to speak into our lives this morning. Amen. So we want to, last week we talked about contending for the faith. Amen. My wife said it's not time to shrink back. It's not time to quit. It's not time to quit coming. Amen. It's time to step up. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to listen to culture. And so today is a call to persevere. Amen. A call to persevere. Amen. So, yeah, push through. There are times, like whenever I run in the morning, so I run a 5K every other day, and there are times I do not even feel like getting out the door. I'm like, man, my body is saying, no, don't do this. But my mind is like, no, you must do this. And my spirit man is like, no, you must do this. And so my body is like, I really do not want to do this. But as I get out there and I persevere through all of those emotions and through all the want to just give up, I start stretching my legs, start stretching my arms, and I'm starting to get a little bit more motivated. Why? Because I'm going to persevere to the end. And then even as I decide to finally go and start running, there are times in the middle of that race that I just feel like, man, let's just call it quits right here. 1 mile is good, right? 1 mile, or maybe a mile and a half is good. But then there's something that says, no, persevere to the end. Finish the race. Continue to finish your race. And so you're not going to stop at a mile and a half. You're going to stop at a 5K, which is, you know, 3.12 miles, whatever it is. And so to persevere through that adversity, that whenever you just feel like just throwing in the towel, and you feel like, God, I can't go no more. You can go some more, amen, because it's not your strength, it is His strength that will enable you to persevere to the end. It is His Spirit, His Holy Spirit that He has placed on the inside of you. And as we talked about before at the beginning of Jude, He is the one who keeps you. And if He is the one who keeps you, He is committed to making sure that you will persevere to the end. Amen. I know it gets tough. I know you will face tough times and you will feel like it is not worth it. Let's just throw in the towel. It's just so much easier to do something else. It's easy to live for the world. It's easy just to go and do what the world is doing. But it takes perseverance of the saints. If we're called, and we said that we are called that God's chosen ones to display His glory in the earth. And we are called to persevere this morning. Amen. Book of Jude, chapter 1, the only chapter, verse 17, it says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their ungodly passions." And so as we talked about Jude was addressing some issues that he's seen in the church, and there was this rise of this false prophets, basically, and false doctrine that was being accepted in the church. And Jude is encouraging those who are authentic in their faith, who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I believe I'm surrounded by those kind of people in this place this morning who love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the encouragement to you today would be the same encouragement that Jude had for those in the past. And if we were to look at the scripture, and it says, in the last time, in the last day, that means as the day of the Lord approaches, whenever He returns, that is the hope that we place in, that we put all of our hope and all of our trust in the fact that, hey, look, the Lord is coming back one day. It won't always be this bad. We won't always have to fight and struggle and persevere. The Lord is coming back one day, and He is coming soon. And so we look at this verse, and it says this prophet, these predictions of the apostles and of Jesus, it will take place in the last time. It says there will be scoffers. Do you know any scoffers that in your life this morning? Do you know any people who mock the idea that there is a God? They mock the idea that you were created by God. They say that you came from monkeys. They say that you evolved from that one kind became another kind. But Jesus would say something totally different about your life. He said, no, I formed you in your mother's womb. I gave you a purpose. I breathed life into you. And so you're not just this blob that just came about, but you were created by God. In his image and in his likeness, we look around, we see that there are scoffers in the last day. Now, 2 Peter, he has a similar type of passage. And so we see that Jude is quoting a prediction from the Gospels. And so we look at Peter's account of this. It's very similar. Let's look at it in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 through 7. It says, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. So it's a guarantee. There will be scoffers in the last days. You know, even in that, we can take comfort because God's word is coming about. So whenever you see scoffers in the last days, it shouldn't trouble you. It shouldn't, like, disrupt your faith. It shouldn't cause you to stop believing in God because the holy prophets, the word of God has forewarned you and said, look, scoffers will come. Scoffers will scoff. You know, we always say haters will hate, but scoffers will scoff. They will scoff at the things of God. They will mock the idea that you are in church this morning when you could have been anywhere else. They will ridicule you and try to put you down. Scoffers will scoff. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. And how subtle the enemy comes into your life. He says, oh, the promises of God hasn't been fulfilled in your life. You're still waiting on this promise for Jesus to come. He hasn't come back. He's not coming. And he would even go that far and tell you, he's not coming back. What are you doing? What are you doing believing in this false hope is what the enemy would want you to believe. Why? Because if he can disrupt the hope that you have on the inside of you, he got you, right? Scoffers will come, is what the Bible says. They will mock the idea of God. They will mock the idea that you were created by God. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were. But verse 5 of 2 Peter says, for they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water through water by the word of God. In other words, what God spoke into existence, whenever God spoke, he spoke water, water came into existence. Whenever he spoke light, light came into existence. Whenever he spoke trees and mountains and all these things that we see, boom, it happened. And so what we can rest assured on, if God said that he is sending his son and that he is coming back for his church, guess what? We can bank on it. It is going to happen. It is going to take place. It is a promise of God that cannot be revoked. Amen? Because God is not a man where he can lie. A man may tell you so such and such, and it may make you a promise, and it may or may not come to pass. But whenever God speaks something, you can be sure that it will take place. So we put our hope in the promises of God. We put our hope in the fact that one day we will be with the Lord. Amen. We will see him face to face. It says that God will be with his people, and his people will be with their God. We won't have to close our eyes and imagine that we are there, that we will be there with eyes wide open. We will see him face to face. We will behold the face of Jesus. We will look into his eyes, and it will be a glorious day. This is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Don't abandon the hope. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So we see in 2 Peter that he takes it a little bit further than what Jude takes it. He says, for those who do not believe in this promise, just as the earth will be consumed with fire, they too will burn in an eternal, everlasting fire. This is throughout the Bible we see this, that for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, heaven is not their home. There's a place of torment. There's a place where there will be unrest. There's a place where you will be eternally separated from God, from anything that is good, anything that is worthy. You will be totally separated from a holy and loving God. And there's this place of fire and torment and anguish that will never be quenched. The Bible talks about it. We believe it. We hold on to the promises of His Word. Continuing in Jude, as he talks about the scoffers. You know, I can't help but think of the scoffers of this day and this age, those who mock God. Now, some of these names that I'm about to read to you might surprise you, because we listen to them, we watch their movies, and we just allow whatever they say into our lives without any guard for our heart. But Angelina Jolie considers herself an atheist. She says, there doesn't need to be a God for me. Whether or not she admits that there is a God for her, we don't exist. You know, we exist for God. There is a God, and one day she's going to meet Him. And hopefully that she repents from her sins and from her unrighteousness, and that she will turn to the Lord. Amber Heard says, I know Christianity, especially Catholicism, like the back of my hand, and my education has given me the freedom to know that it is completely absurd for me to believe in. Morgan Freeman, you're like, no, not the beloved Morgan Freeman, who acted as God in several movies, says this. He says, my belief system doesn't support a creator as such, as we can call God, who created us in His or her image. And so his belief system doesn't believe that. So if I believe in God, and I do, it's because I think I'm God. How arrogant. The beloved Morgan Freeman, we all love his voice, doesn't have a belief in God. Sam Smith, you might have seen this at the Grammys. This guy dressed like Satan and has all these little demons around him. He wrote in his song, he has these lyrics, he says, I have never believed in you, which I don't know who he's talking about if he doesn't believe in him. But he says, I have never believed in you. You won't find me in church reading the Bible, and I'm not a saint. I'm more of a sinner. Has no desire to love the Lord, has no desire to pursue after his holy word. But yet the Grammys feature this guy and promote this kind of thing. What about the carnival this year in Brazil? Brazil 2023. Now, if you haven't seen this, This should really upset you. This should really cause a holy and righteous anger to rise up within you and say, this is not right. This is not acceptable for our society, for a man to be dressed like Satan and to drag Jesus around like this in mockery of our Lord and our Savior. Brazil 2023, this year. I mean, we're not talking about things in the past. We're talking about this year. And let's not forget America's favorite, Disney. We think Disney is like this perfect babysitter where we just allow our kids just to sit in front of these TVs and watch Disney. And we watch Disney, but I'm saying don't allow your kids to watch it without being guarded, because they have an agenda. This is what Franklin Graham, we know Franklin Graham as an evangelist, the son of Billy Graham. He says today Disney is indoctrinating children with the LGBTQ agenda, and they don't try to hide it. I hope parents wake up to what Disney is trying to do to protect their children and grandchildren from the lies this once great company is now so willing to promote. Mockers, scoffers, scoffing at the idea of God, scoffing at the fact that God created male and God created female and God called them to be together. They mock at God, the scoffers of the day, and we see them each and every day. We see them in movies, and they're pouring into the lives of our children. They're pouring into society. They're driving society. And if we as Christians don't rise up, this and all these other are the ones who are influencing our children. We need to be the ones who tell our children about the things of God. We need to be the ones who say, I know you see all of that, and I know that you're going to hear it at school. I know that we cannot stop you from seeing it or hearing it, but I can stop you from walking in that direction. I'm going to pour into you the word of God. You know, as parents, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to raise your children in the ways of God, because the society is not doing it. It is our responsibility. Verse 19, Jude continues. He says, it is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Now we understand why they act as such. They don't have the Spirit of God. They're not of the Spirit of God as we are. We have been born again. We have been made new by the precious blood of Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We are not to act like this world. We are not to act like them. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God. If you are saved, and how many of you are saved in this place? Then you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. We can expect the world to act like the world. We can expect them to be sinful. We can expect them to do harmful and hateful things because they don't have the love of Christ Jesus on the inside of them. But those of us who are born of the Spirit of God, we are to be different. Amen. We are born of God. We are born again, as Jesus would say to Nicodemus. We have been born again. We are not like this world. We are called to be out of it. Verse 20 says, but you, turn to your neighbor and say, but you, beloved, and if you look at that word beloved, it means esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love, building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So notice, Jude again puts the responsibility on us as believers. He says, you, beloved, are to build yourselves up. So what does it look like to build yourselves up? I like how the Message Bible puts the same verse. It says, but you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. So one way that you build yourself up is by praying in the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? Does that mean you have to speak in tongues the entire time? It does not mean that. Praying by the Spirit is being influenced by the Spirit of God. In other words, it is the Lord who directs your prayers. It is the Lord who leads you to pray whenever you do not know how to pray, as the scriptures say. You know, there are times when you may be praying like, God, I don't even know how to pray. You might be in a situation where, Lord, I don't even want to pray. God, I am too tired to pray. I am too anxious to pray. I cannot even focus, Lord, on prayer. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to pray in that moment. That is praying in the Spirit. Amen. Whenever we realize that we are totally dependent upon Him, that we cannot do anything without Him. And that's how we pray according to the Holy Spirit. We pray out of this dependency. God, I need you. I need you in my life. God, if you don't show up, things will go badly. God, I need you. I'm dependent on you. We build yourselves up in faith, is what He says. So the responsibility is for you to build. All right. So if there's a foundation, you know, we are to have a foundation. That foundation is to be in Christ. The fact that He came to this earth, He walked this earth without sin, He died, He was buried, He resurrected from the grave. That should be the foundation of your faith, but it says that you are to continually build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. And the responsibility falls on you. I don't mean as your pastor to build your faith. It is your responsibility to build your own faith. Amen. By praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Luke 21:36 says, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, as you see, you know, I think we just see wicked and evil more so with social media. We see it in the news, and we see it each and every day. It is important for you, just as it was important for this church to pray in the Spirit, it is important for you to start your day praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many guys, you would say that I pray in the Holy Spirit each and every day? Okay, we got Mr. Leonard. All right, we got a couple of other people. But I encourage more of you to begin to make it a part of your lifestyle. Each and every day, we're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And so all prayer and all supplication is to come from the Holy Spirit. Now, I always find that prayer amazing because it's us communicating to God, right? To God. And so, but the prayer itself actually comes from God. It comes from His Spirit. So it's the God that's on the inside of us praying to the God whom we serve, God our Father. And so that type of prayer, that prayer that is based on the Word of God, is an effectual prayer. Amen. It has power, and it has power and effectiveness whenever we pray according to the Holy Spirit. How many guys have had like prayers answered? You know, and it just like God just does something. You've been praying for something, and then all of a sudden, boom, it takes place. It happens, and you're like, wow, the God of the universe actually heard my prayer. He heard me praying. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But yet, He chose to hear my prayer, and He answered my prayer. Isn't it so? It's humbling, for one, but then at the same time, it's like, wow, I'm in awe of who You are, that You would be mindful of me. Who am I, God, that You would hear my prayers? But He delights in the prayers of the righteous. Amen? Amen. He loves to hear whenever you come and pray to Him and you bring your petitions to Him. It shows your dependency upon Him. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So if you find yourself in a situation where I don't even know how to pray, and maybe, you know, there's a need in your life, someone you come across, and they're really going through a hard time, and you don't even know how to pray. God, I don't even know how to pray for this person. Pray according to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead your prayer. Open up your mouth, and God says that He will fill it. Amen? Be led by the Spirit of God. Perhaps, again, you're feeling weary. You don't even have the strength to pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. God, I am weak. God, I don't even know what to say. Maybe you're wanting to have a quiet time and you're struggling. God, pray through me. Help me to pray according to Your will. Help me to be in alignment with what You are saying in my life at this time. That is praying by the Spirit. Amen. It's realizing our dependency upon Him. You know that we don't have the answers, but He does. Our resources are limited, but He owns everything. Amen? Isn't that awesome that you know, we're looking at this insurance thing with Hope Community Church and Hope Extreme, and I believe in God. Amen? I believe that He is able. And it may seem to be an insurmountable amount of money that we have, but He has been faithful. He has been faithful in times past, and He will be faithful in the future. He will continue to be faithful. Amen? Never have we seen the righteous forsaken and begging for bread. Amen. He has been faithful. He has provided for us. So whenever your resources run out, that's the beginning of His. Amen. That's the beginning of trusting in His resources. And if He made all the gold in the world, and if He made all the diamonds in the world, and if it all belongs to Him, there is no shortage with God. Amen. There is no shortage with God. So believe, pray by the Spirit. Whenever we look at it in the flesh, we're like, I guess it's over. I guess we'll just throw it in the towel. According to the flesh, what we see with our eyes. Praying by the Spirit says, no, I believe that God has called me. I believe that God has called this church. I'm going to believe in faith. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to pray according to the Holy Spirit and not by what I see. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. We pray by the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. You want to learn how to pray according to the Holy Spirit? Put zero confidence in your flesh and 100% confidence in Him. Amen. You try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. You begin to surrender it into His hands, you will succeed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the other thing to consider whenever we're praying according to the Spirit is to pray according to His Word. In other words, if you don't have the Word of God in you, you're not going to be able to pray according to His Word. But if you, looking at scriptures, and you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then you pray accordingly. God, I am standing on your word that my children will serve you, that my family will serve you. We're standing on the word of God, and we're going to believe that for our lives. Your word says it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God's word. Amen. I'm going to pray according to His word, or whatever situation, whatever, you know, there's an answer to every single problem in the Bible. It's like God said, look, I'm going to give you this instruction manual called the Bible, and there is something or a story that can relate to your certain situation. It may not be exact, but it may be enough just to say, wow, David found himself in a pickle. David found himself in a place where, you know, his men, his own men were about to kill him. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And it says that God, that he regained everything. Everything that he lost, that God brought it back to him. And I'm believing that for my family. I'm believing that for my life. And you begin to pray according to the word of God. That's praying by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit and God's word are intertwined. They won't contradict each other. They will be in alignment with each other. And so as you're praying according to the word of God, you are in alignment with God's will for your life. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God would be the next part of this. So if we're to build our lives as Jude encourages us to do, yes, we must pray according to the Holy Spirit. But then we must keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. Love is what separates us as Christians. Love is what defines us. Love is what gives meaning to our benevolence. Whenever we do good things to others, if we do it out of love, it avails nothing. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And you think about the love that Jesus had for us, how He endured all things. He endured the cross. He endured the whipping. He endured the ridicule, the spitting upon, the mocking. He endured the thorn, the crowns being shoved in His head. He endured it all for you, for me. Yes. Love. That's true love. I fall so short from that in loving others. To love others in the way that Christ loved us with this sacrificial type of love. Man, the bar is set so high. You know, for me, I struggle, if I'm to be honest. I struggle with loving people who are lazy. I struggle with loving people who do stupid things, you know, like peel over our building. I struggle with loving, you know, people who are disrespectful. Anybody else in this place struggle with loving people who do such things? And you're like, God, you called me to love, but how am I supposed to love this guy? You're like peeing all over the church, you know? I mean, disrespecting the church. How am I supposed to love this guy who just cursed me out after I gave him a bag of food? You know, it's hard if we're honest. If we are completely honest with ourselves, it's hard to love people at times. But you know, Jesus did not only love those who loved him. He loved me even though he knew that Ted would mess up big time. Even though he knew that I would, you know, that my lifestyle would not match his sacrifice. He chose to love me regardless. He chose to love. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Amen. In the very act of being crucified, he looks down and sees the Roman guards who had just beat him to a pulp. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Amen. Man. Amen. To love like that. The book of Jude encourages us that we are to build our faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, walking in the love of Christ. You know, it says, other scriptures say, that the world will know that you are his disciples by the love that you have for one another. Whenever, you know, we went to this men's conference and we went to, you know, a restaurant, meet you anywhere, and there was such a love amongst us, there's such a camaraderie, and people see that. People take notice of that. You know, whenever you go out to your school, whenever you go out on your job, or wherever it is that it may be, if you're walking in the love of God, people will know that you are a disciple of Jesus. By the love that you have for one another, they will know that you are his disciples. Charles Spurgeon says, love is the evidence of faith. Love is the evidence of faith and the grace by which faith operates. The faith which saves the soul is always attended by love. It is written, faith worketh by love. Faith without works is dead, but faith without love is faith without works. Therefore, faith without love is a dead thing. It cannot possibly save a soul. Lord, help us to love. Help us to love. Help us to walk in love, to love those who are different from us. Help us to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. You know, if we have ministry without love, what do we have? Dead works. Dead works. If we have anything, if we have relationships without love, what do you have? You have nothing. If you minister to others, but you don't have love, what does it avail? But if Jude would encourage us, so Jude says, build on your faith. Build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Build by keeping yourself in prayer, praying by the Holy Spirit. Then he would say, build yourself by keeping yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he closes in verse 24. He says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He is able to keep you loving. He is able to help you whenever you cannot love that person, whenever it's too hard to forgive that person, whenever it's too hard to love that person. He is the one who keeps you from stumbling. He is the one who keeps you in his love. Amen? Let's read that again. Now to him, who is that? Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the one, only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen and amen. He is the one who is able to keep you. He is the one who is able to sustain you. And because of that, he deserves all the glory. His name is worthy of praise. His name is worthy of adoration. Amen? To present you blameless is what the scriptures say. In other words, your sin is remembered no more. You're blameless according to Jesus Christ, according to his sacrifice, according to his blood. He sees you and he says, you're blameless. Your sin is gone. Only one can do that, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. All glory to God. Let's join Jude as he says, all glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation, for saving me, for delivering me, for keeping me in your love, oh God, for demonstrating to me the love that I did not deserve. Help me, Lord, to demonstrate your love to others in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, we ask, God, that you will speak into this place, speak into our lives at this time. Lord, that you will build upon your church. Lord, that you will cause us to pray in the Holy Spirit at all times, with all prayer and with all supplications, but to also build ourselves in the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to repent for our sins. We want to repent for not being loving. We want to repent, Lord, for not believing and not trusting in you as our all-sufficient God. You are able. You are the one who keeps us. Forgive us for trying to do it on our own, by our own selves, oh Lord, forgive us. We are totally dependent upon you. God, we need you in our lives. We cannot make it without you, oh Lord. So forgive us for our attempts ourselves. Forgive us for our attempts in trusting in our own selves. But Lord, that we would rely on you in the mighty name of Jesus. So if there's anyone in this place where this message just spoke to you, would you just stand to your feet? I'd just like to pray with you. Whatever it may be, let it be between you and the Lord. Let the Lord do a work in your heart. Let the Lord change you. Let the Lord soften you with his love this morning. Perhaps you're in this place today and you feel unloved. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. That is an unconditional type of love, whereas human love is very conditional. I love you if you do this or if you're like this. But the love of a father says, I love you this much that I will send my son to die in your place so that you can live with me forever. That is the kind of love that our God demonstrates this morning. And so perhaps you've never received Christ in your heart. Perhaps you've never made things right between you and the Lord. Don't be like the scoffers of this day who are headed for destruction. Repent and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Believe in him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Receive his love today in the mighty name of Jesus. And walk in his ways. Lord, today as a church, Lord, we just lift up our hands. God, we just surrender to you. We ask, God, that you will come, that you would do what only you can do in our lives, that you will change us, that you will mold us, and that you will shape us into the image of Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we will be light in the midst of darkness. Lord, that this world will know that we are your disciples by the love that we have for one another. Change our hearts. Change the hardness of our hearts. God, change me. Change everyone around me, oh Lord. Help us, Lord, to abide in your love. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory and honor in this place. To you alone be enthroned, O God. To you alone be the glory. We lift you up in Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say, amen.
Amen. Would you go in love? We love you. We'll see you at Cane's after service. Don't forget our mega fundraiser. Pick us some jambalaya tickets on the way out. Help us get some fundraising going.